What if I told you that an 8-time NHL All-Star and future Hockey Hall of Famer found it worth his time to bust the balls of a wide-eyed, new-to-the-big-city radio host? What if I told you that the temperamental outburst of a board-op and adult D-League hockey player would eventually lead to some of the best hijinks in ticket history? This is 15 for 15. Brett Hull and Expo Prank Bob. The year was 1999. Bad radio had only been on the air for a few short months. However, they quickly become familiar with the ticket's love for pranking their own, and that every action has a reaction.
First of all, the climate at the station was such that people were looking for pranks, and one of the characteristics of young Kevin Expo Fox was that he had a hair trigger temper. As a youthful lad, he would get very, very angry. And of course, up here at the station, when you do find someone who has buttons, it's really fun to push them. And so one way he would channel his anger would be, of course, on his work shift, perhaps. But we really saw it play out with our adult league hockey.
Former ticket afternoon board op, Kevin Expo Fox.
I had been pranked, or at least attempted to be pranked. They came in early to one of our adult league hockey games and mic'd up our coach. And the coach tried to draw me off sides, which he really didn't have to do because the mind gold from that bit still exists today. That's where Somebody Go came from.
Somebody go! Somebody go! Somebody go! God almighty!
And he wasn't what you would call a great player, but he was easily the most vocal, and he would go nuts at times. And so those of us who work in an audio medium and experience temper tantrums think to ourselves, man, this would be great radio if we could get it recorded. And then the whole point of the exercise was to make Expo mad during that hockey game. And then, of course, we got all excited because we had it recorded. He didn't know it was being recorded, of course, until we were on the air the next day and we shared all this audio for the entire Metroplex.
And I decided I needed to get revenge for this. So I knew that Bob had been a Brett Hull fan from his youth, and Bob had sort of embarrassed himself a little bit when they had Brett Hull on after he got signed when he was at Ticket Stock. Bob misremembered his college number.
I'm 28 or 27 years old or whatever I was at the time at Ticket Stock, and now this guy I've been fascinated with forever shows up on the Dallas Stars. In fact, the Stars signed him within like 10 or 12 days of me being hired at the Ticket, and then ultimately meeting him that next February at Ticket Stock was great. But of course, all of my buddies at the Ticket thought it was really funny that, you know, they could goof on me while I'm trying to interview Brett for the first time as Gordo or George, and everyone's laughing in the background. And so, yeah, I told him about this 10-year-old Bob memory of him playing for Minnesota Duluth and got his number wrong. And, of course, everyone enjoyed that I tanked on my big moment.
So I called Larry Kelly, who was the Stars PR guy at the time, and said, hey, I want to do this prank on Bob. Can you help me with Brett Hull? And Larry said, I love this idea. It's great. I'll talk to Hull. Come on down.
Former Dallas Stars PR director, Larry Kelly.
I knew it would be perfect because I had heard Bob on the air before. I knew he had basically a man crush on Brett. So I talked to Brett, and he was fine with it. So my job was pretty much setting up Bob. I called Bob and spoke to him about Brett being mad at him at something that Bob had said on the air. And I was kind of evasive about what exactly was said, but did a decent job of getting Bob kind of rattled a little bit because here was Brett Hull saying that he was mad at Bob.
I'll be honest with you. I was less than 2 years out of Lynchburg. I was not familiar with the idea of professional athletes, let alone my boyhood hero, professional athletes, being accomplices in a prank on me. That was so far out of the realm of possibilities that, you know, that's what I suppose made a genius, is I just did not understand that that could even happen.
So I went to practice. It's the day after Christmas, about 3 months after I'd been busted on the air for my antics at our adult hockey league games back when I had a really bad temper. And Larry tees up Brett And Brett says, oh, yeah, this is great, no problem. And I walk up to him, shake hands, how are you?
Just get on reputation for a second. Then we're Bob, if you want to say, you know, call him an idiot for not knowing your number in college. We screwed that up last year. Anything you want to do, just go off.
Said, okay, so this is what we want to do. He said, okay, you start. So I said, okay, fine. Hey, Brett, you got a minute. He says,
no, I'm not talking to the ticket anymore.
All I had to do was say why, and then it's 2 minutes of Brett just going off about Sturm, making stuff up about him, spreading rumors, trying to get the coach fired and all that. And it just, it was, could not have gone better from a guy that everybody really was scared of. Everyone's kind of friends with him now, but it's because of this prank. Nobody really knew him that well before that.
The biggest thing to understand, and this is important, is that Brett Hall, at the time he came to Dallas, was thought of as a troublemaker. There was a lot of national noise, almost identical to when T.O. joined the Cowboys, that you just watched, this is about to happen, sort of writing. And one of those was in the Sporting News. I said it was garbage, partly because it's my boyhood hero playing for my new favorite hockey team. I'm sure I had my pom-poms out as I'm taking on this article. But that was the impetus of the prank, is me defending Hall turned into Hall hearing that I was saying him and Hall are nose to nose and that he's going to want out or coach to get fired and that sort of thing.
I'm not talking to the ticket anymore.
What happened?
What? Wait, Sturm? He's such a... It's unbelievable. He goes around, he tells me he's my buddy, and you know, he doesn't even know what number I wore in college. He's so useless. And, you know, he goes off and he starts telling people that I want the coach fired and this and that. So I'm not talking the f***ing ticket anymore.
It really wasn't a lot of setup to it. Expo just came in and just mentioned a couple of things to Brett, and then they just started with me. And when they did, I mean, Brett did it all off the top of his head. When I heard the interview, I didn't think it could have been more perfect on Brett's part.
You know, the two-faced backstabbing, you know, it's not going to happen. And, you know, I talked to Mike, and he's not going to talk to the ticket anymore. So you can blame Sturm for everything.
Yeah. Well, but he didn't. That's not.
Well, it's too bad. You know, it's his fault, and I'm not talking to you guys. And you know, you can blame it all on Sturm, like I said. You know, you can't have yellow journalism like that. And I'm not going to put up with it anymore.
We played it pretty early in the show that day, somewhere, I don't know, early in the 4 o'clock hour, and it short-circuited Bob for the rest of the day and had the callers going nuts. People telling Bob that he should abandon being a fan of Brett Hull, that, you know, Brett's a jerk. He should never have done that to you. Dan had a different tack. Dan's like, I can't tell if this is a bit or if this is real. If it's real, it's awesome because, you know, your hero's mad at you. And if it's a bit, it's awesome because it's a bit and it's awesome. And we let it go towards the end of the day. Dan says, okay, now it's time for Why Today Doesn't Suck. And Bob says, no, today sucks.
I thought it was an easy to explain misunderstanding of an athlete hearing something third hand that clearly he got wrong and I could smooth this over. But as the audio went on, I could hear how angry he seemed to be. And I went from, oh, this is something I can clear up, to, oh my gosh, I might have to consider suicide right now because my boyhood hero clearly hates my guts now. This is really, really a big, big problem. So did I detect the possibility that it was a prank? Absolutely not. I can't imagine anyone could fall for a prank more than I fell for this.
Bob really took this thing really hard. Like, he so fell for it. In fact, really took it home. Like, if this guy was really mad at him, that it would affect his life adversely. This is, if you think Bob is nervous now on a day-to-day basis to make sure that, you know, we stay where we are, I guess, you know, back then it's like we're on one-day contracts type thing. And he would let a tiny thing happen and kind of go in his mind about how this could adversely affect the rest of his whole life. And Brett Hall hating him was not what he had in mind for his life and career, I guess.
But he was getting an email from somebody.
Too bad. Email, shmeemail. I mean, I don't care if someone told him that. He's got to come to me and ask me if it's true or not. I mean, if he was such a big fan of me and he liked me so much, why doesn't he come and talk to me and say, hey, Brett, you know, I heard this rumor. Is it true or not? And, you know, then things might have worked out because it's so false and untrue. And, you know, like I said, it's yellow. And if that's the way he wants to act, then you can just forget everybody, you know. One bad apple, and he's that rotten, stinking apple.
And as it happens, there's a game that night. And we got a lot of help, again, from Larry Kelly, who really helped sell the deal when Bob showed up to the game.
When I saw him, I wasn't sure if he had been let in on it yet or not. And so when he came over to me and started asking me about what happened with Brett, again, face-to-face, I had to kind of keep a straight face and pull it off. And, luckily, I was able to, and I remember Bob walking away, and I just turned around and started laughing because, in one way, I felt bad for the poor guy. But on the other hand, I mean, how many guys get to be pranked by one of their childhood heroes? I mean, that's I hope looking back at it that Bob looks at it fondly in that aspect.
Like, I thought it was kind of great, even if it was not a prank, that this guy is having a complete misunderstanding, but that this guy really knew who he was and had him on his radar was pretty cool.
And he, you don't buy the fact he was just trying to straighten everything out?
No. I mean, if he was trying to straighten things out, he would have called, he would have phoned PR at the Stars and asked me what was going on, if it was true, if there was problems. But no, he just goes right behind my back and, you know, does the typical yellow journalism. And it's just a joke. And I've had it. And that's it.
And I remember the end when Brett said that Bob could go piss up a rope. They paused and both started laughing. And Brett turned to Expo and just said, hey, that was good, eh? Or something to that effect.
So you're not saying anything?
Nothing. He can go piss up a rope.
All right. Well, thanks anyway.
Yeah, I think this was textbook Hull, which made it kind of a genius prank because he even used some phrases like, tell him to go piss up a rope. And I guess that was a famous thing that he had said in St. Louis at one point. Or, you know, he was a guy that would not hold back his opinions. And we had seen many times where, you know, something happens where a player hears half of it and then they get mad at a reporter or something when they don't really have the whole story. And it just appeared that Bob fell right into one of these situations. So it was kind of perfect.
Yeah, I believe the Musers played the audio again, thinking it was legit. Ken Hitchcock driving to the rink that morning saying, boy, how could this possibly happen? Why would Brett Hull be mad at Bob? This is horrible. And I remember Ken Hitchcock actually calling in and wanting to make everything right and almost getting like a sit down between me and Brett Hull to kind of clear the air. So I guess that demonstrated how cool Hitch was. But yeah, I think once Hitch got involved, people at the station then realized we can't keep dragging Bob along.
And I got a call from Fernando like 9 in the morning. Hey, we got to know if this is real or not because things are starting to happen. And I had to give up the ghost to Fernando and said, look, it's a bit. Don't tell Bob. Don't tell anyone. Let me, you know, blow it at 3 o'clock when we do the intros for the show. We used to introduce ourselves and it would start with Dan and then Bob and then Rick Arnett and Jimmy Christopher, and I was always last. And so when I introduced myself, I said that some caller had pegged it the day before. The caller was right. It's a bit. It's revenge for what you guys did to me, you know, and this is bad radio, and started the theme.
But I was clearly relieved and then incredibly flattered or mind blown or humbled, however you want to say it, that Brett Hull would prank me was one of the coolest things ever. So, you know, in the end, it was really an awesome experience. But at the time, I swear to you, I wanted to leave Dallas forever and never return because that was too much for my insecure head to handle.
Well, the funny thing is, he's not the one really I had to get back. He wasn't the one that initiated the secret audio. I don't really know who it was. But because the secret audio got revealed on bad radio, I thought I've got to get one of the bad boys back. And the best thing I could think of was to see if I could get Brett Hull to help me prank Bob.
The idea that Brett Hull was twisting off on somebody in the press, that was not uncommon. The uncommon part is that he was pranking some midday spare at the Ticket.
He can go piss up a rope.
That midday spare, along with his fellow midday spares, went on to dominate their competition for the next 15 years and counting. Join us each month as we celebrate this magical 15-year run with 15 for 15.